Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gift of faith which you have given us. We thank you, Lord, that this faith includes your words of promise that through the death and resurrection of your Son Jesus, through his perfect blood, we are cleansed, we are made white robes, and we thank you for the gift of eternal life that comes through him. May this be our steadfast hope and strength and peace as we continue in this life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How do you endure? Or maybe to ask that a little bit different, how do you cope? What do you do to get by through the difficult moments in your life? Take any person living in the world today, and they're dealing with something, some kind of trouble as a consequence of this world being broken. I'm betting everyone in this room this morning has something, has some kind of problem or trouble that is nagging them. Maybe it's a physical pain that you wake up with every single morning. Maybe it's persistent grief that you thought you were over with, but it comes back. Maybe it's a busted up relationship that you can't get right. Or maybe it's just some simple mental or emotional torment. Or maybe you have some job that you have to go back to tomorrow morning that you absolutely hate, and the stress of that is just sitting right fat on top of you this morning. Whatever it is, how do you get by? What do you do? What do you turn to that helps you cope? Now, I'd love to sit down with everyone and hear their stories, going one by one. I love hearing your stories. We don't have enough time for that, so I'm going to take the bait. I'm going to give you mine. One of the things I do on a regular basis to get by, to cope, to deal in the particularly negative moments of my life is I exercise. I get out my old raggedy mountain bike and I strap on that super dorky looking helmet and I just pedal and I just ride and I just go all around this area. I go out as far as my old man legs will take me. And then I turn around home and I trudge back to the house. And I'll say this, it's absolutely amazing how time on those two wheels dissolves my stress. It's amazing what God does in that moment to brighten my mood. I can leave the house, and my family will testify to this, I can leave the house as this cranky, negative, beat down, complaining old man. And then when I get back 90 minutes later, I'm positive. I'm happy. My whole mood has changed. I actually am a person that you would want to maybe be around. This pic was yesterday morning out near Lake Levan on a ride. And that's what I call a bonus. When God gives me a view like that when I'm out to just get some exercise, gives me that view and reminds me of his beautiful creation. I thank God every day for the gift of exercise that he gives me that allows me to work through and manage my stress. But then there are days that it rains. Then there are days where my bike is broken. Then there are days where my joints and my tendons just hurt so bad that I can't even think about getting on that bicycle. When those days hit, how do I cope? I'm so thankful for the way the Lord uses these earthly, worldly things within my life and yours to help us get through difficult times, to help us manage stress and pain and suffering. But let's be real. These things are just things. A bike ride is just a bike ride, not much more than that. And I know, truth is, a day is coming where I won't be able to do that anymore. I won't have that thing at which helps me cope and manage my stress. My body won't allow me to get on that bike anymore. So how do I cope? How do you cope? What do you do that gives you any kind of peace or reason to smile, especially when you are in some of those most awful moments of your life? Because life has a way of doing that, right? Putting us in those moments. Those moments where the suffering is so real and you just feel it every day and it just nags you and you get so sick and tired of it. And those are the moments where the devil and sin, they like to come in those moments and capitalize on what's going on. And they like to breathe in this nonsense of despair and hopelessness into those awful, hard days. But then we open the Bible. In some of our most difficult moments, we open God's Word, the Scriptures, and we read the very words that we read this morning from the Apostle John. These words from the book of Revelation, and oh, how sweet these words sit on the ears of someone who is knee-deep in suffering. John had this vision. God gave him this vision of the life to come in this seventh chapter in these nine verses, and he wrote about it. And John described the people there. He said, they're clothed in white robes. It's a great multitude. It's a huge crowd, more than I can number. Every nation, every tribe, every people, every language. And all these people, they're not just hanging out. They come and they gather around together. And they're proclaiming together in unison. They're saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Think about that for just a moment. Every nation on earth, every human being breathing air, millions upon millions of people united in agreement on one thing. And that peace alone is enough to cause us to pause. Think about that. Put together any large group of people today, and the only common thread is that we don't agree. Division and disagreement is the only common thread of a huge group of people. But in this moment, as described by the Apostle John, there's perfect peace. There's perfect unity and agreement. It's a beautiful image for us today. But that's not where my heart sits on this text. My heart travels down a little bit further in this text, to verses 16 and 17. It's there that John wrote this. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That right there. That is what stopped me in my tracks as I'm reading this. God will remove all tears, which means God will remove all pain and suffering that we know so well in this life. It's all gone. And let me be very clear, this isn't just some symbolic thing. It's not just a play on words or some fanciful metaphor or imagery. This is real. Real. God has said there will be a real life coming, a real physical life coming, where all the trials and the troubles and the things that we hate about this life, gone. So who gets this? Who is it that gets this life? Text tells us it's those in the, it's your turn, white robes, right? Those in the white robes. Okay, I got it. Okay, now how do I get that right white robe? How do you and I become a part of those rejoicing and celebrating people in those moments? Because you'd have to be completely out of your mind crazy to not want the life that's described here. So someone send me that Amazon link and I'll prime it to my house by this evening, right? I can get it, but we know it only comes through one. The text tells us very clearly it comes through the blood of the Lamb. And let's be very specific here. It comes through the death and the resurrection of Christ Jesus our Lord, the Son of God, the Son of Man. It comes through His blood. Those in the group are cleansed by His sacrifice. And salvation belongs to the Lord. And more specifically, salvation belongs to Christ Jesus, the crucified and risen Lord Jesus. It's His victory. He is the victor. And to the victor go the spoils. The spoils of eternal life. An eternal life that does not have an end, that will be completely peaceful, comfortable, calm, and joy-filled. It's His victory. But Jesus doesn't keep the spoils, does He? Jesus doesn't hoard this up and say, no, This is mine. You get your own. You do your own work. No, Jesus gives the spoils to us freely. He says, believe in me. Believe that I died and rose for you. And these gifts you will inherit, and you will inherit them and enjoy them forever. No end. So how do we cope? What do we turn to for anything that's real, lasting, tangible peace and joy and hope about tomorrow? Especially when we're right in the middle of some awful suffering. We turn to these words. We live in these words from the Apostle John. And we run to the cross of Christ. And we allow God through his word to remind us that whatever we're in the present moment is but a temporary moment. It may sting. It may be awful. It may be the worst moment of your life. But God has promised an end to it is coming. He will bring about a life where every speck of illness is gone. Where every mental and emotional torment is done. No more grief. No more sadness. No more of the trouble that we know so well every day. Bike rides are cool and all, right? I love them. But it's just a bike ride. Any other coping mechanism we have in life, they're nice, but that's not where we sink our hope. That's not where we have true joy and peace about tomorrow. That's only found in Christ Jesus our Lord through his death and his resurrection. It's only through him that we have the promise of this forever life to come that is going to completely blow our minds because we have no reference point to it here. The psalm for today is the mighty Psalm 23. And what an appropriate psalm to connect with this Revelation text. Because the Revelation text talks about glory, but it talks about glory to come. It talks about a life to come. Which means we have to wait. It's not quite there. We're not quite at that point yet. And oh, how wonderfully Psalm 23 helps us wait. How Psalm 23 speaks this calm into our lives. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. Because we know who is leading us, and we know where we're going. Our Lord Jesus, our Savior, is leading us. He is present in every single moment of suffering. He is present in every disappointment and negativity and anxiety and worry. And he's leading us through this tribulation. And we know where we're headed. We're headed home. We're headed home to be with our Creator God in his presence forever. That's how we endure. That's what we cling to with every single fiber of our being until we're called home. So when you get home, I want you to do something after the Mother's Day lunch that you're all planning. I want you to get your Bible out. I want you to take one of those little sticky notes. I want you to mark this page. Mark it obtusely to where you can't miss it. I want you to go back to these verses, these Revelation 7, these 9 verses here, and read them often. We need to be reminded of this as we continue through this tribulation of life. We need to be reminded that this isn't the end-all, be-all. We need to be reminded that God has promised us this eternal life. He's guaranteed it through his Son. And every day he looks to speak that truth into our lives through his Spirit. Maybe the life to come will look like that. But without itchy eyes and a runny nose from the allergens. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this life, this faith, the gift of your Son. But Lord, this life is difficult. We all have things we're troubled with. We all have problems, pains, and sufferings. Lord, you know them well. We pray that your Holy Spirit would strengthen us each day. Give us courage. Give us hope and peace. And most importantly, keep our eyes fixed on you. And the promise you have made to us that there is an eternal life to coming. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.